Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, December 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady and Troy, New York. She has brought with her delicious Moroccan dishes and recipes today, and I'm sure you have heard her on previous Food Fridays. Anissa is a great guest, always interesting, always a trick up her sleeve, and something new to talk about, and today is no exception. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Anissa Waheed, Moroccan food, your call's coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen back to our Food Friday program. After spending 14 years in Manhattan, Anissa returned to Schenectady. In 2008, Anissa and her husband opened a Moroccan and Indian boutique named Tara. Then in 2011, Tara Kitchen opened its doors at 431 Liberty Street. The Daily Gazette has rated it a top five restaurant, and it has been ranked among the top 25 by both the Albany Business Review and the Times Union. Earlier this year, Anissa opened another location in downtown Troy, New York. Always great to have this guest on the program. Anissa is a lot of fun. She knows food. She knows business. And if you have a question about Moroccan cuisine, which is what we'll be talking about today, the number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Anissa Waheed, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again, Ray.
You're always busy.
Yes.
You're always busy. So first of all, let's get up to speed on how things are going at Tara and what's new.
Well, Tara's doing great. Yeah, we opened Troy earlier this year, and that was a little bit frightening. But
why was it? You were on just before it opened, I believe.
I know. Well, it was frightening because, you know, you're doing a new location, and the number one thing that we were conscious of is we wanted the new location to be just as amazing as our original one. And having said that, we also wanted to make sure that things don't start sliding in. Original location, right?
Yeah.
Because we're sort of now running two places. So that was a challenge, but we have some great people working. So, yeah.
And how do you divide your time between the two locations?
So the number one place that I actually focus on is home with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of now have stepped away from the day-to-day operations. So I look at both, you know, every morning we look at both locations, see what's going on and where I need to be. And then that's how we make our decision.
And do you feel that you still have the control? I know from talking to your husband who's been on this program, you run a tight ship.
Yeah.
And so how do you keep that control?
Daily meetings.
Yeah.
Every single morning. I mean, most of the time I'm in Schenectady because that's sort of home base for me. But the crew in Troy, we pretty much talk every single day. And I pop in there at least once or twice a week.
Surprise inspection?
No. I don't need to. They're a great group of guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, just keeping connected every single day and listening to customers. And, you know, we're constantly looking at reviews and what people are saying, you know, keeping a ear to the ground, so to speak.
That's so interesting. So Yelp and all the other reviews.
Yeah, very important.
Can you obsess about that too much?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to take a lot of stuff with a grain of salt, but that's where we really truly get true feedback,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, when things are great and we're doing well, it's awesome to hear good stuff, but it's more important to hear the stuff that we're not doing right. So we look at that regularly. I would say at least once or twice a week, and then the staff talks about it, you know, and we look at it and we say, is it something that we can do, something we can do better, those kind of things.
I would assume, have to filter some mean-spirited things that are in no way constructive and no way accurate. I mean,
yeah.
We get that too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, some of the stuff that we cannot control, for example, you know, where the building is in Schenectady, just for example,
right.
Or the physical space. You know, those are things that are beyond our control. We just sort of let those slide. We're more looking for things that, you know, are related to the food, to the service, to the ambiance, like things that we can control. And, you know, sometimes things slide. We're all human. So
well, the food's
maybe,
good. We all know the food's good.
Thank you. But we want to be good every single day. So we strive very hard for that.
And you had intimated before we started the program that there may be some menu changes in the offing. What's
so
going on?
So I have been, you know, I've been working on switching the menu at both the restaurants for the past couple of months. I try to do that at least once a year, if not some years twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is not only to bring new dishes to the customers, but new cooking techniques. And, you know, we have a really good staff that's been with us for a few years. So part of what also happens is we also have kitchen fatigue, right?
So people just get a little of that old ennui.
Yeah, you know, we're making the same dish over and over again. So, I mean, think about it. We probably go through, you know, maybe about rough numbers, about 1,000 people that are eating through the restaurant a week. And so you make the same chicken tagine maybe 50 times.
But that's a staple. You can't not make
that.
Right.
So some of the staples we have never touched in the past 6 years, right? But then what I try to do is we work around those staples. We try to bring in new ingredients that people are not eating outside of our cuisine, new techniques, you know, things that are exciting not only for us to do, but also for the customers to come and try.
Mm-hmm. And you brought some things today.
Yes.
Before we get to the calls, by the way, before we talk about the food, which looks and smells amazing, our guest is Anisa Wahid of Tara Kitchen. Our number is 800-348-2551, and we will get to the phones in a moment or two, but you got to tell me about this.
All right, so I brought a few different things today. The first one here is called Chicken Kedra, which is a tagine, but it just has a little bit of more homey feel. It's got okra in it. It has smen, which is a Moroccan butter.
Smen?
It's a fermented butter, and it has some chili flakes. It just has a very different flavor profile from the stuff that we normally do.
Fermented butter. Explain
fermented butter.
And tell me about
it. So, this is very commonplace in Moroccan food where they do lots of different strong flavored ingredients, like preserved lemons, right? We've talked about that.
Oh,
endlessly.
My favorite.
Yeah, so there's a lot of preserved ingredients that are preserved through the year and then used in small quantities in dishes to just sort of, you know, make them pop. And smen is no different. You know, it's sort of butter that's refined into ghee, which is basically at that point is lactose-free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's butter that's cooked and then all the milk solids go evaporate. And then they take that and season it with some other seasonings and close it up and let it really preserve. And then that has very strong fermented flavor. But when you cook with a little bit of it, it can really put food over the top.
Do you have to make your own or can you actually procure that?
No, you can procure that. And we do a little bit of sort of combination. We procure a smen and then we kind of add a little bit more to it to kind of get it to the level that we want it to be. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So that's the chicken with the okra. And then in Troy, we're going to be doing a brunch menu within the next couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah, so I've been wanting to do brunch for a long time.
Because you don't work enough.
No, we don't work enough. I can tell you all the number of hours in the day that I'm not working.
3, 4, yes.
So that's been very exciting for me because that's something I've been wanting to do for a while, but we held back for a couple different reasons. But with Troy being in a downtown area where there's a lot of people living down there and looking for brunch, and having Josh, who's our chef in Troy, kind of really take the ball with this and run, we've created a menu which is going to be pretty spectacular.
Really?
Yeah. So I have some of the brunch items, a couple of the brunch items here.
That almost looks like quiche.
It is, exactly. It's a very apt way to describe it. It's a quiche made from chickpea flour.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's seasoned with eggs and harissa and ras al hanu. And the way we bake it is with a layer of lamb. And then we pour the chickpea batter on top. And then we bake it like a quiche and you eat it with, you know, a salad, basically. So we have that and we have potato patties, which is a sort of a Moroccan street food.
Yeah.
And in Morocco, you just, you know, walking around, you pick up this potato patty. And we've sort of elevated that to be a full meal with an arugula and chickpea salad. bread and some boiled eggs. And then the other two items we have are actually going to be featured in the new tapas lounge we're opening in Schenectady called Lotus.
Oh, wait, we'll have to talk about that after the break. But
yeah, and this is, you know, because it's tapas and it's sort of designed to be more in and out. So what I have is a date stuffed with some spicy sauce, almonds wrapped in turkey bacon and then baked.
Oh, boy.
So it's supposed to be a one bite, lots of big flavors in that.
That's
one
a big bite, though.
Yeah, well, I think you can do it.
Yeah, you've seen me eat. Sure, absolutely, I can do it.
And we have some ground lamb meatballs, which, you know, also served on a toothpick kind of stuff. So it's the concept of Lotus is very different from all the other restaurants that we do. It's tapas, it's, you know, small plates, couple bites, that kind of stuff, shared plates and cocktails. So very new concept.
What a great idea. And when will Lotus be opening?
So Lotus, we're shooting for March.
Really?
If all goes well. But it's connected to another big project that we're working on, which is the Moroccan hammam. It's a Moroccan spa.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah.
My producer, Jim Lavula, sent me a link. We need to talk about that. We also need to take a couple of calls here. But okay. I would personally be uncomfortable doing this, but I could see that this will be an enormous success.
Yes, I think so too.
Is there anything else like that around?
Not around here. I mean, there's spas that do, you know, sort of scrubs and, you know, sort of pieces of what we're going to be offering in this space.
Well, let's talk about that after the break, because it'll take some, for those of us who are not familiar with that, it'll take some real description. Zachary Malloy, let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you're on the line, thank you for your patience. We will get to your calls after this break.
Support for WAMT comes from Cooperstown Farmers Market in its 27th year, bringing farmers and artisans together to provide local goods. Open every Saturday year-round, CooperstownFarmersMarket.org. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. Open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, celebrating the holidays with truffles, butter crunch, sea-salted caramels, peanut brittle, and ribbon candy, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSamsCandy.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined by the great Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen, who always brings delicious things. And this quiche-like substance, and I forget what you call it, is one of
the most
delicious things. It's not your average brunch fare.
No, and that's the goal, is we're not going to do the average brunch fare. I mean, we're being very conscious of who's eating this food and why they're eating brunch and what components need to be in brunch. But we're going to do something so unique and different, and it'll be available in Troy on Saturdays and Sundays.
Mission accomplished. All right, let's take some calls here. I'll eat some more, and then we'll talk about Tara Hammam, which is such a cool concept, and Lotus, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. But let's go to Danny in Cornwall, who has been waiting for quite some time. Danny, you go ahead.
Hey, not a problem. Anissa and Ray, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question for Anissa, which is, when she first started out in business, what were the, let's say, ingredients that she looked for when she first started her restaurant endeavors?
So are you talking about the restaurant ingredients in terms of the business, or are you talking about the
yes.
food ingredient? Yeah, so that's a really good question, Danny. You know, some of the things that I was looking at was, you know, the food that I want to offer, the business concept that I want to bring, is that something viable? As you can imagine, restaurant business are notorious for failing. So I really looked at the landscape of where I wanted to be, and then, you know, looked at what could we bring to the table within the community that it would kind of be different and then successful. So that was really, really important. The other thing I think that was also important was knowing that restaurant business can be extremely taxing and time-consuming. We were very conscious of the fact that we were not going to let that happen to us. So we looked for a space where we built the restaurant downstairs and lived above it. So it was just a model. You know, I didn't want to kind of get into business where all I did was work. So living in this above the shop, so to speak, was very, very crucial for our success in the beginning.
Danny, thanks for the call. That's a double-edged sword, though.
Yeah.
You live above where you work.
Yeah.
It's much easier to get away from work if you at least have to walk a block.
Yeah, and we knew that. And we consciously did that because at least for the first few years, I was pregnant. I had a small toddler. We knew that. So we were willing to make that sacrifice. So, you know, when I needed to nurse, I could just run upstairs.
Yeah.
If the baby needed a change, I'd just run upstairs.
Now, in the early days of the restaurant, you and your husband did a lot of the hands-on
yes.
stuff. So how does pregnant Anissa
yeah.
stand on her feet and cook all day long?
I mean, I remember my OB came to the restaurant and ordered me off the kitchen floor.
I believe it. All right, let's go to Raymond and Rhinebeck. Raymond, you're on. Hey, Raymond, you got to turn the radio down a little bit, okay, bud? We're hearing ourselves. Oh, are you there? Give him a second, Zach. No, he's gone. All right, Raymond, next time you call back, we'll get you right on, but you got to keep the radio down. Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Hey, good to have you here.
Listen, you got to stop eating all that luscious food.
Oh,
hold
so
it
good.
Near the microphone.
You have no
and
idea,
walk
man.
Some of the aroma over to me, please.
All right, buddy.
Come on.
All right.
You didn't even ask me to come.
Well, you know, next time.
Okay. Well, my initial question was answered already when she started talking about the, was it Karan?
Yes.
The quiche like dish, you do serve lamb dishes.
Yes, we serve a lot of lamb, and in fact, probably the number one protein we serve at both restaurants is lamb.
Wonderful, because I go to places and people claiming to be Greek restaurants and or whatever, you know, Middle Eastern or whatever, and then you ask them, oh, the Iro is beef and lamb. No, Iro is lamb.
Yeah, no,
I want
no,
lamb,
we
I want lamb.
Yep, no, lamb.
Where
is
are your locations now?
In Schenectady, in downtown Schenectady and downtown Troy.
What is the street names?
Oh, 431 Liberty Street in Schenectady and 172 River Street in Troy.
What was it, 130?
172.
172 River?
Yes.
River
in Troy.
Yeah.
And which locations are you going to be, or location are you going to be featuring brunch service at?
In Troy on
in
Saturday
Troy.
And Sunday mornings, yeah.
Saturday and Sunday mornings.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, my friend. Our number is 800-348-2551, and Nisa Wahid is our guest today. And now we'll see if Raymond has his radio turned down. Raymond and Rhinebeck, you're on.
How you doing? Sorry, I've been I lost you like three times. But
no sweat, man.
Anyway, my name's Raymond. My dad's from England, so I was always prone and used to eating curries.
Yeah.
Now, your cuisine is, what is it again?
It's Moroccan.
Moroccan cuisine.
North
so
Africa.
What, I'm interested in what your base ingredients are for, one of your staple meals.
Yeah, so it preserved lemons, which is a very unique Moroccan ingredient. You know, it's just lemons that are preserved in salt and lemon juice. Yeah, so it's a very strong, preserved sort of flavor, lemony and salty. That forms the base for a lot of Moroccan food. Olives is another big one. Ras el Hanou, which is a Moroccan seasoning blend. I'm sorry?
What was the first ingredient called?
Oh, preserved
lemons.
Preserved lemons.
So good. So good. A little goes a long way, too.
Yeah, little goes a long way. It's a strong flavor, and you cook that with some chicken, some green olives, and you know, some ras al hanout. That's
and
a very...
What was that Moroccan ingredient called, the weird name?
It's called ras al hanout. It's the name of the seasoning blend, the spice blend.
And how do I spell that?
Oh, boy.
R-A-S-E-L.
R-E-S-E-M.
E-S as in Sam, H-A-N-O-U-T as in Tom.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. I got it. Okay. Well, yeah, so I appreciate it. I just, you know, I'm always exploring different, you know, techniques. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, if you go to my website, there are a lot of cooking videos on there, a lot of cooking ingredients. You can definitely check that
out.
What
is the website?
TaraKitchen.com.
You know, Raymond... The preserved lemons, Anissa's preserved lemons, are available in some stores, and I picked them up. And simple thing we did, and obviously I'm not a cook, as you well know, Anissa, but we took some of the preserved lemons, we took some chicken,
yeah,
and some other stuff, some spices, and put it in a crock pot.
Yeah,
and at
perfect.
The end of the workday, it yeah. was phenomenal. Yeah. Every kid that I had, and the other one is that plum.
The apricot prune sauce.
Oh, the apricot prune sauce. That works well with chicken as well.
Yes, yes.
I'm hungry. I might have to eat some more. All right, let's go back to the phones. Chris and Troy. Chris, you're on.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey, your food sounds amazing. What I'd like to know is to what extent is it locally sourced?
So sometimes we're able to source our eggplants and some of the produce locally, but because of the kind of ingredients we use, and we're also a halal restaurant, so we've tried desperately to source our lamb locally, but that's not been possible because we need it to be halal certified meat.
For those who don't know, halal is?
Halal is basically the Islamic version of
kosher. Yeah.
So the meat has to go through a very stringent process before it's, you know, certified halal. That, for example, it has to be a certain age, and it has to not be a mother that's weaning another baby. Mm-hmm. There are lots of strict restrictions. It can't be ill. It can't have any injuries on it.
It's tough to do that locally.
Yeah, well, because and obviously there's some part of blessing involved as well. So yeah, nobody does it locally. Mm-hmm. So we have to source it.
Chris, do you have a follow-up?
Interesting. Interesting. So it sounds like it's actually a high-quality meat.
It's definitely a high-quality meat. It has, you know, there's a lot of science behind what halal is. And part of the science is to make sure the meat cannot transport disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, meat can carry lots of different kinds of things. So that's part of the science. It's also make sure the meat is tender.
Sure.
So there are lots of different requirements, yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Our guest today is Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Troy and Schenectady, and our number here is 800-348-2551. All right, quickly explain to us, before we get to Rachel and Leverett and Doe and Wendell, Tara Hammam, what the heck? What? I looked online.
This is very, very, very exciting for me. So one of the first things I did when I was in Morocco almost 10, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, was a hammam. A hammam is this hot room that you go and you have a full body exfoliation, a full body mask, and an oil drop down. And when you leave that place, you just feel like you're born again, right? I mean, it's just such a great feeling. And it's something that I've been wanting to bring to the capital region for many years, but it's a very involved project. And I've had, I would say, at least a good 10 false starts on this project.
Really? So this has been a goal for a long time?
A long time. In fact, at both our restaurants, we also sell Moroccan black soap, which is a recipe that I created, and I started cooking and making it, and I've been selling that for a few years and talking about the hammam to our customers for a long time. So it's finally happening, and we're in construction. So it's going to be, you know, in downtown Schenectady, you're going to come to this place, and this is really what we're going to do. We're not a full-scale spa. We're going to be the hammam people. So you could come to this place for a cultural experience, an experience like no other, and you're going to be in this hot room and have this full-body treatment. I think it's going to be pretty amazing.
And there's really nothing like that around
here. Nothing like it around anywhere.
Oh, Anissa, you're born to make a buck. It's going to be a hit.
I hope so.
And that'll be opening at the same time Lotus opens?
Yes. So as we were developing the plans for the hammam, you know, we got into the space that's incredible. It's beautiful. And we were able to, one of the designers working on the project had this brilliant idea to, the hammam was always supposed to have a food component, but she had this brilliant idea to sort of bring it outside into the lobby and make it available to just, you know, customers who are probably not coming to the hammam. So that developed into a tapas and champagne lounge, and we're calling it Lotus, and it'll have a small plate menu and just some tasty, yummy drinks. It'll be a place, you know, it's a concept that sort of doesn't exist in our area right now, this idea of just hanging out.
Yeah.
So we either go to a restaurant to eat, or we go to a bar to sit at a bar and drink, but we don't kind of do this tapas thing, right? Which is big in Morocco, big in Europe. So it's a new concept. It's going to be a different menu, you know, but it's challenging for us, but I think very exciting.
The whole thing also sounds very relaxing.
Yes, and I think that's the idea.
In this society, at this particular point in history, we could all use a little relaxing.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I want this place to be some place where, you know, you come, you hang out, you're sitting and you call your friends and ask them to join you, and you're there for like, you know, a few hours. So let's see.
And they're working on it now? They're building it?
Yeah.
Oh, I pity the contractors. I bet you're tough on them. All right. Well, we'll get updates on that. Let's go back to the phones. Doe and Wendell. Doe, you're on.
Hi, I have a question about spices. What spices are common in Morocco cooking? And also, when is a good time to add spices, say a stovetop cooker? Those are my questions.
Sure. Okay. So common spices in Morocco, of course, we've talked extensively about ras el hanout, which is a combination of spices.
Oh, it's a mix. So is that a blend?
It's a blend, yeah.
You can buy it.
You can buy it. Online, and you know, I have my own version of it, and every place has their own version of it. That's sort of a big one. If you're just trying to get one blend that could kind of, you know, help you with all your cooking, but some of the most common ones are cumin is a big one.
Sure.
In Morocco.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, cumin is almost it's like a salt on a table in Morocco. You'll find bowls of cumin in restaurants where people just keep adding more cumin to their food, which I find interesting.
Why?
Because you just don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do that.
A little goes a long way.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Moroccans love cumin. And coriander is a big
coriander.
One. Paprika is a big one. So there's not
what
a lot of...
What was that last one you said?
Paprika.
Oh,
sort of sweet Hungarian.
Paprika.
Yeah.
Correct.
And,
oh, good.
You know, some dried ginger.
Yeah.
Dried ginger is a big one in Moroccan food as well. And in terms of adding your food, I think, you know, the way I cook, we do slow cooking. We just add all of our ingredients in one at the same time and just slow cook it. So you can't go wrong with that. The only thing to be careful with spice is not to burn it, right? So if you have a pot with just some oil and then you start throwing spices in there without other ingredients that coat the spices, then you kind of go.
Oh, you make a point.
Right. And what spices would clash in any category of cooking? What spices would not go good together in a meal?
Yeah, you know, so if... what comes to mind is, you know, spices like thyme and oregano and those kind of things that are very prominent, rosemary, which are very prominent in Italian cooking, but, you know, which is good in Moroccan food, too. But if you were trying to do a Chinese stir fry, that's probably not going to work.
You make a point. Thank you so much for calling.
I've got one more little question.
Okay.
Are there any nutrients in spices?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, I don't know about nutrients, but there are definitely lots and lots of health benefits to spices, right? So, like, turmeric has been known for years to be an antioxidant. And I remember when I was growing up in India, if you got a cut, your mom put turmeric on your cut.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Right, yeah.
So you're a doctor, too, basically.
My mom. In general, spices have lots of health benefits. Mm. You know, for example, I've never had a cavity in my life.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that comes from the fact that we just eat so many, like, cloves and cinnamon and cardamom, which are really good for teeth health, gum health. That's probably, you know.
Good question, though. Are your kids on the clothes?
Oh, absolutely.
That'll save you a lot of money.
Yeah, very, very, you know, very strict about that.
That's cool.
We talk about that all the time.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen and Tara Hammam and all kinds of Tara stuff. I got to be honest with you. Let's go to Rachel in Leverett. Rachel, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Hey, you're sounding a lot better, Ray.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. It was a heck of a 2-week cold, and, you know, bourbon and cider really fixed it for me.
Good for you. Good for you. Anissa, it's wonderful to hear your program. I worked in Morocco off and on through most of the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And even though we were based in Casa, we traveled a lot.
That's awesome.
And I remember a particular restaurant that we ate in. I think it was in Agadir. And it was fish. It was a fish dish, and it was baked in salt, actually completely covered, almost like submerged in the salt and baked in the salt. And yet the fish itself wasn't salty, and it was delicious.
We have talked
and
about
I'm
this.
And I'm wondering if you know a dish like that, and if it's possible to find, like, is it special salt that's used? Is it a dish that I could make here in the States?
Oh, well, I think the answer is yes. I'm sure we could replicate that. I personally have not had this dish, but it doesn't surprise me that they would have it in Agadir. You know, I mean, every part of Morocco, as you know, Rachel, has their own little specialities in what they do. You know, for example, in Marrakesh, tangia.
Yeah.
Which is not a tagine, but it's something that's cooked in a conical vessel that's buried underground.
Yeah.
Most of my time I spent in Marrakesh, so I've not had that baked dish, but I think that's definitely something that we could do.
And Rachel, I believe, and my memory is notoriously sketchy at best, we did a program, I believe, with it was on seafood. And this particular topic came up, and I believe that, and maybe you give our producer Jim Lavoulis a call, and he can backtrack to the guest. And I think we've had it. I think it was on the show, or we talked about it. So give Jim Lavoulis a shout.
I'm going to check it out, too, and if I find something, I'll email Jim.
Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate it. We'll take a break here. Anissa Waheed is our guest, and we have many more things to talk about, some more calls to get to, some more emails, some more food to eat. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends. Specialty salt box gift sets for holiday gifting. RollingRockSalt.com for live events and details. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George. Offering conference spaces, lodging, and family activities. SilverBay.org. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and food vendors every Saturday, 9 to 2, in downtown Troy's atrium. Now featuring winter holiday items and vendors, troymarket.org.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. And Anissa Waheed is our guest today. Lost my microphone. So the bacon and the date finger food is amazing. Explain the recipe again.
So the idea with this was for Lotus, which is going to be a restaurant in a lobby.
So it's a lounge kind of.
It's a lounge. It's hangout. It's very, you know, it's maybe about 1,000 square feet, but most of that is really a lobby. And the kitchen that I have in there is 15 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yep. So in that entire space, we have to cook, clean, serve, and do the bar and all of that stuff. So in thinking through the process, the idea was to not only do stuff that we could do in this limited space in terms of cooking, but also what is this guy hanging out in the lobby eating? You
right.
know? And my concept for Lotus is to have food without silverware. So everything will be either skewered or on a toothpick, so you just take a bite and, you know.
Love
you
it.
Know. Yeah. So that's really where all this stuff came from, and I was trying to, you know, do something with dates, good flavor, you know, one bite, and, you know, dates rolled in anything is great, right?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The thing I love about this is, A, the bacon is nice and thick.
Yeah.
And, B, it has sweetness, and it has just a little zing,
little
spice.
So I added some of my spicy date sauce to it. So in the restaurants, we have a spicy date sauce, which is made purely from dates and super hot spicy chili powder.
Mm-hmm.
So we took some of that, we coated the dates in that, and then we added some almonds and then wrapped it in the turkey bacon. I want to be very clear about that.
Okay.
We don't do any pork.
Of course.
And turkey bacon, and then we just sort of baked them.
It's really
good.
Yeah,
I think it turned out well.
It's a winner.
It's a winner.
Your own idea?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There you go. All right, a couple of emails, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551. This one is from Ann in Beacon, who says, while in Fez many years ago, I purchased a tagine, and the shopkeeper threw in a small one as a gift. What is the best way to use it, either on the gas burner or in the oven? Is there a simple method to reproducing the delicious meals we had while in Morocco?
Yeah, so, you know, tagines, when you buy them in Morocco, there are many, many, many different kinds of tagines. They're cooking tagines and just service tagines. So if yours is decorated and has painting and, you know, all sort of flowers on it, it most likely is not meant to be cooked in.
Okay.
It's just for service.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just clay and red and ceramic, then you probably want to season it first in the oven. So what you do is you soak the tagine for a couple hours, then you oil it and let it bake in a cool oven for 2-3 hours,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of season it and make sure that there are no cracks in it. And then you just use it like a slow cooker.
Yeah.
So the idea is you throw some ingredients in there, put the lid on, and let it just simmer on a, you know, low heat.
All right. And we'll do one more email, and then we'll get back to the phones. We have a couple of more emails, but we'll do one more now and then some later. This one is from Holly. Can you talk about some of the vegan options at the Troy location?
All our food that's a vegetarian is vegan.
Okay.
So we have an eggplant. Oh, I take that back, because we have an eggplant with chickpeas and honey, which would not be vegan if you don't do honey, because some vegan customers don't eat honey either.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was interesting for us to learn too. But and then we have, you know, chickpeas with oranges. We have spinach with lentils. We have probably about 9 or 10 different vegetarian.
So there are plenty of options there.
And when I'm creating a menu, the first thing I think about is my vegan vegetarian customer, because for me, even when I eat out, it's so hard to find vegetarian dishes, so I'm always very conscious of that. I make sure that I have the same amount of vegetarian as I do non-vegetarian,
and it all has that flavor and the weight and the
Warmth of the spices,
yeah.
And, you know, all of that, so we're very conscious of it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen, et cetera, is here with us. And let's go to James in Hudson. James.
Hi, yes. I just was wondering if you were familiar with Paula Wolfert's work. She's I had a really good friend that worked with her, and she was the first person that introduced me to Moroccan cuisine, which I love.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what a tagine was before that. And I think she's a new book. She's not very well, unfortunately, right now, but she has a biography of her with recipes, and I don't know if you know about her work.
I do know her, well, not her personally, but I do know her cookbooks, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm looking for inspiration or I'm just looking to sort of, like, clear my head and stuff, I always read her forewords, which are there's just so much great detail. And, in fact, please let her know that anytime anyone calls me at the restaurant or asks me to recommend a Moroccan cookbook, I always say Paula Wolfert.
Well, that's nice.
She's in Florida, correct?
Yeah, but she's not very well, but she was amazing, and I wouldn't know what a tagine was if it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think she's probably one of the first people to bring Moroccan food to America, and then just sort of give it the a lot of media coverage. I think was through
her. Well, thank you. I have to get up there.
All right,
absolutely.
James, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend. Our guest today, Anisa Wahid of Tara Kitchen, and the soon to be Tara Hammam and Lotus.
Yes.
Which will be March-ish.
Yes.
And you're at 431 Liberty Street in Schenectady. That's the original location.
Correct.
And you're also on River Street in Troy. What's that?
172 River Street.
Okay. Another email here, and then back to the phones we will go. This one is from Polly, who writes, a few months ago, my husband and I took his sister to Tara Kitchen for her birthday. She loved it so much that when she went home, she sent us a tagine. I've cooked in it a half dozen times now. Fish with ras el hanout, vegetables, green olives, parsley, kermoula, and preserved lemons. It's fun to cook with, especially when we have guests. They're quite impressed. Tonight, I'm going to do something with shrimp, and that's from Polly.
Oh, that's great. I love that us opening this small little Moroccan restaurant almost six years ago in Schenectady has started this conversation about Moroccan food in our region and people traveling to Morocco because they've had food with us.
Yeah. You should get a little kickback for that, by the way.
I should.
Yeah.
But I think it's so amazing that, and I've said this in the past, and I really believe this, that food is a way to break boundaries and cross, sort of
cultural divides.
Cultural divides and political lines and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the amount of people who come to our restaurant and who enjoy Moroccan food and who are on all different spectrums of the political, field. And so it's just amazing. It's fantastic when I hear stuff like that.
Anisa Wahid, our guest today on this Food Friday, and a fun one at that. Our number is 800-348-2551. We'll go over to Paul in Saratoga Springs. Paul, you're on.
Hi, I just want to mention that I, with grandmother, children, grandchildren, have been to Tara's Kitchen in Schenectady. Just outstanding, and I'm excited. I haven't been to Troy, although my daughter has actually been there and says it's great. And so my question are two things, I guess. One, where again is the Lotus going to be? Is that going to be Schenectady?
Yes. Hi, Paul. Thank you for visiting us. So Lotus will be at 204 Lafayette in downtown Schenectady. And Lotus is in the lobby of our Tara Hammam. So both the addresses, the address for both the locations is the same.
And you can go to one without the other?
Absolutely. Yeah, so you could choose to just do the Hammam or you could just do Lotus, and that's why it was so brilliant to be able to separate the two ideas out in the same floor. So that's 204 Lafayette in downtown Schenectady.
All right. Paul, thank you.
That was my... Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Our number is 800-348-2551. Entrepreneur, cook, general genius. Anisa Wahid is our guest today on Food Friday. All right, take us through, while we have a minute, the Hammam experience. As I read it, it's something that I might be a little uncomfortable doing myself.
But you're going to love it.
I don't know. All right, tell us about it.
So a Hammam is this hot room, which is heated to about 100 degrees. It's a dry heat. Mm-hmm. And you go into this room, and there's an attendant with you there, a spa therapist. And what they do is they apply black soap on your body, which is a very special soap made with olive oil and eucalyptus oil and, some really great ingredients that help exfoliate your body. Once they do that, they take a loofah and basically scrub you down. And then douse you with sort of lukewarm, coldish water. So you're in this hot room with cold water.
Recipe for a quick Ray heart attack there, I tell you.
It's not.
No?
Going to be.
Okay.
I mean, people, look, hammams have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? So the Greeks had it for thousands of years.
Yeah.
I mean, the Roman hot baths have been around forever. Hammams are extremely popular in Europe and in Russia and, in obviously the Arab world. So this is something that people have been doing for hundreds of years. I think that we just don't do it here in America.
I've never heard of this until today.
And that's something that I've been coming up against a lot. And, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for us in terms of first the education of what a hammam is, why you need to do it, and then why are you coming to us for it.
You may be surprised. It may take off more quickly than you think.
So I look at every project from, you know, a very worst case scenario.
Right. No, it's a good business person.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know that we're going to have some education that we have to do, but hopefully, because it's us and we've done Morocco before and we're sort of in the business of Morocco more than, you know, the spa or the food, I think I'm hoping people trust us.
How long does the process take?
No more than 45 minutes.
So you go in?
You go in, you get the scrub, you get washed off, then there's a full body mask that's applied to your arms and your legs, and then that's rinsed off, you know, after about 10, 15 minutes, and then they'll apply some oil on your body to sort of rehydrate. And then you leave the hammam and you can hang out in our relaxation rooms just to kind of de-stress.
No, you will not need de-stressing after that.
You will need a place to sleep, so we've made sure we've done that.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, brilliant. I think this will be a success. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551, and let's go to Joan in Springfield. Joan, you're on.
Great, thanks. I have a quick question. I wondered if you could suggest a couple of simple recipes I could try at home to get a picky teenager interested in the food. She's going to be traveling to Morocco in the spring for school.
Okay. Fantastic.
So, she's picky.
So what is she picky about? Is she picky about vegetables? Is she picky about meat? Is she picky about spices? Define
she
picky.
Likes, yeah, she's a teen. I mean, she likes chicken and she'll eat some veggies, but she won't eat spicy things.
Right.
So I just thought I could try a couple fun things at home.
Yeah, so, you know, a really good, simple introduction to just Moroccan food or even just, like, food with a different flavor, I would say, is a chicken tagine made with peas, carrots, and potatoes.
Oh, perfect.
So it's perfect. It's, you know, it's no different than doing a stew, right? So you take
like a
beef stew. So you take these ingredients, you put them in a tagine with some ras al hanout, which is not spicy. It's more of a warm, flavored seasoning blend. And you do some onions, oil, and tomatoes, and that's it. You know, my kids love it. It's comfort food for us, too.
Yeah.
And I have never had anybody not like it. So I think that's a good go-to.
I think it would be fun to try before she travels.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, good thanks,
luck.
Joan.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And some of your dry spices are also available. I know you have preserved lemons and the prune.
Apricot prune,
right.
Spicy date, harissa.
But you have dry, because I know I have some at home.
I have just one dry blend, which is called the ras al hanout.
Yep.
And every single thing that we cook with in the restaurant and what we're going to use at Lotus is just that one blend. So
really?
In our spice box at the restaurant, that's what we have is ras al hanout and salt.
And how do you, if that is your one staple seasoning, how do you then differentiate? In other words, there's this place that it's a chain, I won't say their name.
Yeah.
They make tacos.
Yeah.
You go there, you can buy anything on the menu. It tastes exactly the same because they're using the same spices.
Yeah.
How does Anissa make sure that there is differentiation in the spices?
That's my secret. That's the business model. No, I'm kidding.
No.
So what I wanted to do when I was, I think, you know, earlier somebody was talking about what were the business ingredients that I was looking at. And one of the things I was looking at is I wanted to have a process that was simple, easy, and I could, you know, even back then, 7-8 years ago when I was thinking about the restaurant, I was thinking, how am I going to replicate this? How am I going to franchise this? How am I going to take it to multiple locations? And that's why I came up with that one seasoning blend. So it's a recipe that I've worked on for years to perfect. And, you know, our vegetarian food, it works well with. But also, we're using other ingredients to change flavors, right?
So olives are a beautiful way
olives to change flavors, the smen and preserved lemons.
I was surprised to see okra.
Yeah, okra. I mean, it's really fantastic the way we use it here with the baby okra with the smen, and there's a little bit of preserved lemon in the tagine as well. So there are so many other components that are happening, and we're conscious of these things. Right?
Yeah.
So when we're designing new tagines, we make sure that we don't give you the same flavor.
What, you've been open in Troy for about a year now?
No, 7-8 months.
Is
April.
That all?
Yeah.
Have you noticed a difference? You mentioned education of of customers and in general the population. Have you noticed a difference in what's popular now from the day you opened in Troy?
Yeah, so in Troy what's been really interesting is our demographic has been different.
Really?
Yes, lots of younger people with kids, and you know, it's funny the number of times we have to pull out the child seat in Troy. You know, we maybe do that once every 6 months in Schenectady, and we probably do that like six times a night in Troy.
That's fun.
So that's that's been different, which is great because I love seeing kids in the
restaurant.
What
you're saying is your restaurant's very noisy in Troy.
Yes, it's noisy in general, but no, it's I love seeing kids there. We're trying new things. It's you know, it's great. We've also noticed that in Troy, people love to eat spicy food.
Yeah.
So we're definitely doing a lot more spicier food in Troy.
You mean as compared to Schenectady?
As compared to Schenectady.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So in Schenectady, the number one, I think, flavor profile is our apricot and prune, which is a sweet, tangy, and you've
beautiful.
Had it.
Yeah.
But in Troy, it's the spicy date. Which is very, it's got the sweet and tang and all of those elements, but it's also very sweet, very spicy. So that's been interesting for us.
Well, Anissa Waheed, we are out of time. How do people find out more about Tara Kitchen and all the coming empire?
Yeah, so, you know, Facebook is a great place. We're constantly updating and doing posts about what's happening with the business. So that's a good place.
Okay, and where on Facebook?
Just Tara Kitchen.
Okay. Well, so great to have you here.
And thank you.
Best of luck to you and the family and everybody and your dad. Support comes from Hudson Valley Hand-Cut Scones, available at Cider Belly, Tierra, the Chatham Berry Farm, and other local cafes and farmers markets in the Capital District. Hudson Valley Hand-Cut.com. Gloriosa and Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at the recently renovated barn, Farm de Vos Florals, GloriosaCo.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, dairy and no moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, Harold's.com. At New York Presbyterian Hudson Valley Hospital with a team of Columbia University Medical Center specialists who offer customized treatment plans for each individual cancer patient, nyp.org/Hudson Valley Cancer. Thanks again to Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen for being here. Thanks to you for listening and the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. We'll be back on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Have a great weekend. Right now, stand by for news.